Through the end of December, the Figge Art Museum in Davenport is featuring Irma Renee Cohn, an artist rediscovered. This is a December segment for Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Art Showcase. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom. Miss Cohn was born on October 8th of 1883 in Rock Island and died in 1975. After incredible research by guest curator Dr. Cynthia Wiedemann Empin and the Figge Art Museum's assistant curator for this exhibit, Vanessa Sage, Miss Cohn's life and work comes alive. During her lifespan, Miss Cohn, known as a feisty and free-spirited artist, started her art career at Augustana College. Apparently, her first 3 days at Augustana were quite eventful. Cynthia and Vanessa fill in the details.
She was just there for apparently 3 morning art classes with Professor Grafstrom, and they apparently got into a heated discussion. Irma's grandniece describes Irma herself as being strong-minded, so I think that probably started maybe at an early age. And she was a musician growing up, and when she graduated high school, she decided she wanted to pursue art, apparently. And so that only lasted 3 days, and then he suggested that she was unusually talented, recommended to her parents that she enrolled immediately at the Art Institute that fall. So she enrolled there in September 1903 and was there for 4 years, graduated, did postgraduate work there, and she also taught some of their Saturday morning classes, apparently, the year or so after she graduated. And she would set up a space or a studio wherever she would travel to, and then she would come here back to Rock Island or Chicago area in the winters and rent spaces or have a studio at her parents' house. She also would visit Des Moines area and was very active in that art community, too, because that's where her sister married and relocated to after 1911.
It was kind of interesting that she showed not only in galleries and that sort of thing, but she was showing her art in, like, department stores and things like that.
She apparently had no qualms about, you know, submitting her work to the competitive juried exhibitions, but also the Chicago department stores. The connection she had in Des Moines was that her brother-in-law was a department store executive, so he worked at Yonkers in Des Moines, and they had a picture gallery like the big department stores in Chicago, New York, and Boston had. And from what I've been able to dig up, it was all part of the larger beautification movement, promoting fine art for people to purchase at any price range to hang on their walls in their homes.
And she participated in something in Illinois with putting art into the schools, similar to what Grant Wood and some of the people here in Iowa did as well.
Yeah, in the 1930s, she set up a program with the Rock Island Schools PTA, and the students initially came over to Davenport to visit their annual show at the Davenport Municipal Art Gallery, and then eventually it was moved over to the Rock Island Public Library. And so it was an effort to get kids educated about art. They would have to write an essay. I'm not sure who the judges were, but the prize was Irma Cohen's paintings, and the prize went to the students themselves. Some years the prize actually went to the school of the winning student. So she did that through the 30s and into the 40s, even after she moved into Mexico. I think the last year I've been able to pinpoint that she did that was about 1948. So she was a promoter of art education. One of her early public lectures was Women in Art, and the article that reported on that listed the artists that she felt were prominent in the field at the time. So she was early on an advocate for women as professional artists, too.
And you had written that she had actually had Grant Wood at her home for a special presentation?
Yeah, they were exhibiting in a show over here in Davenport, and she had him over to her house. The same month that he visited her house, she published an article in the Christian Science Monitor, so I'm assuming she must have interviewed him at that point. It was also a couple of months before Irma's own niece enrolled at the Stone City Art Colony. So her niece was somewhat talented in the arts and went on to do theater design. And Irma and Grant Wood had just exhibited that late winter or spring in a group show in Chicago together. Grant Wood, Irma Cohn, and 3 other artists had a show in Chicago, so there was a connection there too.
And she did a lot of things with these artist colonies across America, and particularly was a wonderful way for women to communicate together or be together.
Yeah, she started going to art colonies while she was a student at the Art Institute. One of her instructors would take sketching classes out to Grand Detour, Illinois. So she started that about 1907 that summer. And then I think through connections that she made through her instructors or the art magazines that would come out. And then I think once the artists were there, further meet colleagues and other artists and other teachers. And so, yeah, she went to all the major art colonies between the 19-teens and the 1930s. And her favorite, too, she would spend most time at Gloucester, Massachusetts, in that area, and up in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, after 1922.
But she was always faithful to the Midwest. She really kept coming back to the Midwest.
Yeah, this was her home base, I think. She would come back, and she was still involved with civic activities. She still exhibited works over here in Davenport and at the Rock Island Library. So, yeah, she retained her ties to her family and the community, even though she was a national and international traveler.
So when did she decide to go to Mexico, and what prompted her to do that?
Not entirely sure what her single reason was. We think possibly when her father died in 1942, she was left the big house and it was on a big property. She was about almost 60 at the time, that maybe she just wanted a change of scenery. Her sister and sister's family were already in Des Moines, so she probably had still lots of aunts and uncles and cousins in the area, but her immediate family was no longer in Rock Island since both her parents had passed. So I think just her sister and her took that two-month trip down there after Irma sold the house and gave away her paintings and furnishings. And either she had already made a decision to move down there or loved it after 2 months and just decided to stay. So we're not quite sure. And then she spent 30 years there until she passed away.
And this was really an invigorating time for her when she went to Mexico.
Yeah, once she was down there, she could paint for herself completely and travel all around, and it was invigorating to see new scenes and new landscapes, and she was really entranced by the Indians near Cuernavaca and would paint in the villages and in the mountainsides and incorporate that into her subject matter.
And she's changed her painting style.
Yeah, you can see in the exhibition, in the early works, we tried to make a progression so that when you walk in, you can kind of walk through her nearly 70-year career as an artist. And so there's a lot of these earlier gouaches, which are these small square watercolors that are very finely done. And then as you move forward, you can see the bigger oil paintings that she completed in the art colonies, and some of which you can really see the influence of Impressionism and the way she's applying the paint and the colors and the play of light. And then as you move forward, you can see her get a little more into the masses and forms of the way she's applying the paint to the canvas, and finally to her period in Mexico, which is very expressive and free in the way that she's applying paint. And also the colors are quite a bit more vibrant in a lot of those works. And thick, there's a heavy layer of paint. She started painting with a palette knife, which is when you have, it's like a triangle-shaped metal spatula, basically, and you apply thick swipes of paint onto the canvas. And so there's layers of paint and lines of paint. There's a lot more movement. You can imagine her swiping and scraping the paint all over the canvas, whereas her earlier work is a bit more controlled.
So yeah, she loved it down there. And then while she's down, she traveled all over Mexico. She also traveled a lot around Guatemala. But then also when she was in Mexico, she made extensive trips abroad. Mid-1950s, she went to Spain. And then early 1960s, she made two separate trips to Asia. One a three-month trip, and then the second trip was a little bit longer. And trekking up to Nepal and northern India. And she went to Iran, where apparently she was arrested briefly for painting and or photographing Iranian women, and then the hotel clerks rescued her. So she kept up her travels pretty much late into her life.
And she traveled alone, and you actually have some of her passports right here. That's really fun.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see the actual stamps and have something here that she took with her when she was traveling. We have a sketchbook that I think it's really fun to see the process. And so you can see these little gestural graphite sketches that she did of scenes around Mexico. You can just imagine her walking around with this little sketchbook and witnessing these things and putting them into there for later use in compositions. And we also have some photographs of her, as well as the medallion, which 1918, she won from the Curious Society of Allied Arts.
Yeah, she won first prize for a Peoria show, and so that's their first medal that they gave out. And it's actually made by another well-known sculptor artist early in his career. But when you see the Mexican travel sketchbook, you wonder where all her other travel sketchbooks are. Mm-hmm. I mean, she went to England and Europe in 1914, and then she was in France and North Africa, and those trips she made before 1943, I think all that stuff got dispersed or tossed. We're not quite sure, but she had to have accumulated quite a few sketches when she took all these trips.
After you did all this research, do you feel like, gee, I wish I could have met her? She sounded like such a neat person.
Yeah, of course. And more so that I wish I had glommed onto the project earlier so we could have been more in touch with people either here in the community or some of her relatives that had more of a familiarity with her. It's now the third or fourth generations, and some of them are like great aunt Irma who and what did she do? So just kind of missing out on that time frame, got to maybe her personality or, you know, what local people thought of her and stuff. So there's just enough years that have gone by that you're kind of losing that connection. Irma, during her career itself, she was part of a larger group of artists who were trying to create a national art form kind of landscape, was the field subject theme that kind of became the national art form. When Irma was painting, there were dozens of other art styles that came out every few years. And it was, you know, the landscape artist that kind of would go to these American locales and paint the village scenes or paint the coastal scenes or paint the nostalgic shipping industry. And that's what became the American subject matter. And then the regionalists came along and American scene painters came along, and that kind of solidified a little bit more. So she was a small part of the larger group that had already, from the 19th century, trying to establish an American art form and a native style, because after the Civil War, the American artists were going over to Europe and bringing back the European styles from Munich and Paris and wherever. Although artists like Irma and Grant Wood still did the European tours and still went over to study or visit the art colonies over there, then they came back, and some were very rooted in, you know, creating a Midwestern art or starting Midwestern art societies or galleries or museums and stuff. So it started shifting in the early 20th century, just with more galleries, and then appreciation for women artists came with more exhibition venues for them. Some of the older establishments that would let women exhibit in exhibits and then let women be jurors. Irma was sometimes a juror, and she would be the only woman on a jury full of other male artists. So that was the era she was a part of. More women were attending art academies or art institutions for their educations, and then also traveling with classes.
What do you think her legacy is for artists in America?
A couple different levels, just that she was a woman artist who was able to carve out a long career for herself. Also, like I mentioned before, being part of this movement of creating an American art. And locally, she left, you know, different imprints here in the local art community with her involvement on the Iowa side with the Davenport Municipal Art Gallery. She would lecture. So I think every chance she had to write an article or lecture, she kind of was a cheerleader for whatever she was lecturing on, whether it was women artists or a certain style of art. And she was educated and literate and kept up on the trends, even though she stated herself she was a more conservative painter. And she would be diplomatic when reporters would ask her feelings on a certain abstract work of art. So she was aware of what was going on in the art world around her and stuff, but she kind of stood her ground, and she felt within herself, I think, to kind of paint how she wanted to paint, but she kind of was also aware of market trends and what would sell. But I think she kind of stuck to her own guns, so to speak, too.
For me personally, her as a person is really inspiring in the way that she went about her life and her own independent woman, and some of the photographs that comes across very strongly. And so I think it's her drive to go forward with how she wanted to live her life, and she wanted to follow her passion, and she kept learning her whole life and kept painting alongside other painters and continuing her passion. Yep.
I'm still researching her life. This is sort of an introduction to Irma exhibition, as I've been telling people, because there's large gaps in her career we just don't know about. Her work, we think, was everywhere and may still be everywhere because she exhibited everywhere and sold many of her pieces other than the few she would give to friends and family. Especially when she left the area here, we know she pretty much gave up all of the remaining paintings that she had and I'm assuming sketchbooks and little sketches or whatever, little small work she had. So it's an ongoing project, and there's always a new aspect to kind of focus on. And so this was kind of an introduction to her life based on what we've been able to find out about her so far.
I'd just like to add that the community response has been really wonderful to this exhibition. And I think it's been really great to see how many people have come to the museum and how many people are interested in Irma Renee Cohen and seeing her artwork. And I think it's the local interest, but it's also something about our history that's kind of been forgotten, this artistic legacy in the Quad Cities that has a very long history with the Tri-City Arts League and the Davenport Municipal Art Gallery. We've always had this really strong arts community. And so linking that back farther, I think, has been really encouraging, and seeing the response has been really encouraging.
Well, she was instrumental in starting something which has led to this museum directly.
Exactly. She was one
of the charter members of the Tri-City Art League, which would have exhibits at the Davenport, Moline, and Rock Island Public Libraries, because back then that's where that was the central cultural institution. So libraries in those cities, like also in Des Moines, that's how their collection started too. They would have a fine arts gallery or an exhibition space within their libraries. So artists around here started exhibiting there, and they set up shop, so to speak. They had classes in a building down here. And so it was sort of a school to Irma taught there, I think, around 1915. And then they formally organized, and the wars, they just kind of consolidated everything, and then it started as a Davenport Municipal Art Gallery.
And she was a member of the board and on the Friends of the Figgy as well. So she was just consistently involved with the arts community here and in support of it.
Well, was a dancer in her youth. Well, she might have danced when she was older, but she did some solo dances for some benefits, like for the YWCA and Bethany Home over on the Illinois side of the river. And so you can just imagine her getting up on stage and doing her thing. So yeah, I think she had a zest for life, and she just must have had a spunky personality. And yeah, she liked public speaking. She gave lectures. I think she had a friend at the Art Institute who must have been a student with her, and he was there coordinator of the education program and lectures there. So I think she gave a few lectures at the Art Institute on flower arrangement, and then she'd also work with the garden clubs here in the Quad City, Tri-Cities, and then also in Des Moines, where her sister lived. And so she became active with that, and then I think more interested in gardening and whatnot later in her life. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly the moment when she decided to pursue landscape painting, but she must have loved being outside, because just to make a sketch of a fishing wharf, you have to deal with the fishing smells of the fish and the lobster and everything around, or even just being on top of a hillside painting a harbor, you just had to love being outside for at least part of the day to at least make a sketch. She would do a lot of her oils back in her studio from memory and her sketches combined. So yeah, she must have loved nature. She gave a few nature lectures too, I think, for the Rock Island Women's Club and whatnot. So yeah, I think it was just part of her love for being outdoors and affinity for nature.
The Figge Art Museum's guest curator, Dr. Cynthia Wiedemann-Empen, and the Figge Art Museum's assistant curator for this exhibit, Vanessa Sage. They were talking about the amazing life and career of Rock Island-born professional artist and world citizen, Renee Cohen. The Figge Art Museum in Davenport is featuring Irma Renee Cohen, an artist rediscovered, through December 31st. For more details on other exhibits at the Figge, please see their website at figgeartmuseum.org. Program thanks for this segment goes to Cynthia Empen and Vanessa Sage. Production thanks goes to Iowa Public Radio's Tony Daner. Segment research was provided by Rachel Berenger. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom. Thanks for listening. For more information on Iowa Public Radio's programming schedule and Iowa Public Radio's Iowa Art Showcase, please visit our website at iowapublicradio.org.